Hey guys, welcome to an all new podcast, The Fourth Down Insight. This is a brand new podcast that, for your first episode, it should be interesting to see how this goes. This is all primarily for fun, just me talking about my points and just some of the views that I have that's going on in the league and some, my hot takes. You gotta have once in a while some hot takes, and luckily in this one, I have some hot takes, but first off, I want to start talking about the NFL. It's almost the Super Bowl right now. We're in Pro Bowl week. It's always interesting to see who makes it, who doesn't, and all the robberies, right? And right now, we just had some subs or some alternate Pro Bowl alternates with Russell Wilson taking over for the AFC and Drake May. I don't know. I don't really care for these two players. And I'm a Pats fan. I'm a Pats fan all the way. And I don't agree with Drake May making it in Russell Wilson. Drake May also didn't play for the major for like five games. He didn't play. And he even got injured in the Jets game, which was his like second or third game playing. And so I don't know. Looking at these guys in the games, I think there were some other better players that could have made it instead. Unless we can, can discuss it, but really won't change anything, right? But Russell Wilson, I thought he didn't have that great of a season this year. I think honestly that Justin Fields should have started over him for the whole entire season, and because they were doing a lot better with Justin Fields at quarterback and under center. And they didn't like how they switched to Russell Wilson because they started off a little bit hotter with him, but then they declined like towards the end of the season with Justin Fields. I think if they threw him in for a game or two just to see, they would have probably played a lot better. Looking at it, Russell Wilson only played 11 games this season, so he missed five with an injury that he was dealing with even in the preseason. He has 63.7% completion percentage. Not too bad, but could be better with 2,482 yards passing. That is good. He almost if he had those six games or those five games or the six games back, he would have definitely hit over probably close to 3,000, say 3,500, I would say. 7.4 yards per attempt, which is not too bad. But then it had 16 touchdowns and five interceptions. Looking over that, that's over like a three touchdown per interception ratio, which isn't, it's actually pretty good. But let's with Justin Fields, I think Justin Fields could have definitely developed or could have developed that offense a lot better, because you saw him started coming on later or like right after, or kind of like in week, I would say like five, he started, or it's week four, he started like kind of implementing stuff. But they were, I think, undefeated with him under when he was under center. But let's look at this. His completion percentage wasn't ideal for this season. He only had a 65.8% completion percentage, which is higher than Russell Wilson, with also having 1,106 yards passing with five touchdown passing touchdowns and then one interception. Looking at that, if he kept playing, he could, I think, had better stats than Russell Wilson could have. And so that's kind of my, I don't know why they kind of moved away from him, because he was doing great. I know a lot of people were really confused when Russell Wilson was brought into the mix and really like first starting, because a lot of people were saying, wait, hold on, why change it? Because he's doing pretty good. Because in first week they played against Atlanta, they won 18 to 10, then Denver 13 to 6, Chargers they won 20 to 10, then lost against the Colts 24 to 27, lost against Dallas 17 to 20, then they won against the Raiders 32 to 13. And the most yards he had passing was in the Indianapolis game with 312 yards passing with one touchdown. And then his rushing stats was For four carries, he had 30 yards rushing, which, is pretty. Oh, actually, he had 5 or 10 carries for 55 yards and two touchdowns with Alonga at 12, but he did fumble twice in that game. And honestly, if he didn't fumble those two games, he would have been fine. But he also had 4, 6, 8 fumbles that entire season through 6 games, which you do not want at all in your quarterback, especially if you're trying to have him be kind of like develop him. And honestly, this could cause him not to rejoin the Steelers next season, because from some reports that are happening right now, they're saying that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields won't be returning to the Steelers, which that would be interesting because you're going to keep switching up your quarterback play, and you can't really see how these guys are going to develop in the system, because Arthur Blank was not Arthur Blank. Their offensive coordinator, it was his first season with this Steelers, and you're not going to give him like a quarterback. They're saying that there are reports that Steelers could be looking at a quarterback in the draft. I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're gonna. Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. Could they be looking at one? Right now, here on January 30th, 2025, a player that seems like a Steelers player, in my opinion, is Jalen Milroe out of Alabama. He's a junior, but just something with the intangibles that he has, he's going to go later. I think either he's a first, like a late first round pick to a mid second round pick. I think he's going to go in sometime around there, and I could be having him graded up too high. But after his second day at the Shrine Bowl, he definitely was better than the first day, out of all reports coming. And he's drawing some comparisons to Lamar Jackson. So why wouldn't you want to have one like a Lamar Jackson type esque player, which I honestly don't see. I think he wants to throw it a lot more than run it. But in a division where you have already two elite quarterbacks, you need to get that guy. I think honestly Justin Fields could be that guy for them, but I don't think they're gonna bring him back. Because you already have Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. Those two guys are already established themselves as some of the top quarterbacks in the league, top five. And if you don't have quarterback play, and it's like the same for the Browns, you're not going to win games against those guys. If you can, that's great, but you're most likely not going to win if you can't get your franchise guy. And that's what the Cleveland Browns are looking at right now. And seeing, and all the reports are saying that they're not worried about Shedeur Sanders and not. About and the comments that Deion Sanders have made about him not playing for the Browns, I don't think that they're going to take Shedeur Sanders at two at all. I don't. Maybe if Cam Ward falls to them at two, I could see them potentially picking him or selecting him with the second overall pick. But honestly, Travis Hunter is one of the guys that I would expect them to take up at the draft, because a lot of people are saying that he's a generational prospect. And we've heard that a lot. And part of the thing is that we've heard it with Trevor Lawrence, and he hasn't really lived up to that hype. Caleb Williams, right now, we're still seeing if he is that generational guy. Last guy that has been called that was Andrew Luck. And yes, he was. Because there's like hearing different things or interviews and people talk about Andrew Luck is that he went back to Stanford for to get it finish up his. I think master's or his degree in engineering, so he can become an engineer. But that off season and like when the training camp started, he already knew that offense. He already knew the playbook, and he was calling out different audibles and changing up plays. And their offensive coordinator was saying like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, dude, hold on. We're not even to that play, but like, we're not even to that section of the book yet or the playbook yet." Because all his offense was confused and everything, but that just showed you how his mindset was, and definitely retired too early. But when you struggle with injuries, that's gonna be the hardest thing. So with the Browns having the greatest success when it comes to developing quarterbacks, they should take their time and choose somebody who they're going to absolutely love and know they can develop. And of course, it doesn't help when you're changing coaches consistently, changing offense coordinators. They just hired their tight ends coach, I believe their tight ends coach, to become their next offensive coordinator. I know he was a hot commodity on the offensive coordinator market. The Patriots were looking at him. But the Browns get to keep him in-house. So it should be interesting to see if he can develop a rookie quarterback. Because there's gonna be some quarterbacks who could fall to the second, or they're gonna fall to the second round, who are going to fall to the third round, to the fourth, to the fifth. And you might find somebody who's amazing. Honestly, Jackson Dart for me is one of the top quarterbacks. I think he's number three. I think he's higher than Jalen Milroe, but a lot of people are going to question the system that he was running in college because he was playing in a quarterback friendly system, like offense. And so people are going to, coordinators and teams are going to try to see, okay, what can, is that really, was that all him? Was that not all him? And honestly, if he didn't have the game against Florida, he would not, like, there would be no question about him being the second or the third overall guy or the third overall quarterback. But right now, there's still question marks. But who else has played better than him in my, like, to be that third overall guy? I don't think Jalen Milroe stepped back like a bunch, like with when it came to this season. Because if he would have been able to declare for the draft, there was so much hype on him last season, but he wasn't able to live up to that production. So if you move, I think it's Dart at three, then Moreau at four, but Kyle McCord out of Illinois, he's a hot name right now. He is rising up through draft boards because of his performance right now. I think he's at the, yeah, he's at the Shrine Bowl right now, and he's been turning heads in that, which has been great, right? Because he's a lot, some of these guys are really elevating their draft status. Because the thing is, you're really not going to drop unless you have like a terrible performance and you're not interviewing well. If you're just showing you're not really player or like the type of person that these teams want on their roster, that can hurt your draft stock, right? But if you're showing that you have all the makings of being a great player, you're going to be fine. And Kyle McCord right now is rising up. He transferred from Ohio State, and a lot of people were thinking, oh man, he's not good. That's why he had to transfer, because he wasn't good. He was good. Everyone saw that. And honestly, if the Ohio State had him this season at quarterback instead of Will Howard, they would have still won. And honestly, they could have won their Oregon game. They could have won maybe their Michigan game if they had him at quarterback. Because he is a better draft prospect than Will Howard at this point. But we'll see. Okay, let's get into the reactions of the conference championships. And let's start off with the Eagles Commanders game. I don't think a lot of people expected it to be as big of a blowout as it was. Because no one expected the Eagles to drop 55 points in a conference championship. Like, I definitely didn't expect it. And so when they just came out swinging, their defense stepped up, and played phenomenal. 55 to 23. 55 to 23. There were so much mistakes that the Commanders made and shot themselves in the foot with that were caused by the Eagles because of their pressure, because of Zach Bond, honestly. Zach Bond, we'll get into him a little bit later. But that honestly was a great showing by the Eagles, and they do, out of everybody in the champ or NFC champ or playoff schedule, the Eagles always had the best chance to take on any AFC team that was going to make it to the Super Bowl. And so some people want to see the reign of the Chiefs era end and see somebody else win and not have them repeat in three or back to back years. The Eagles were the best chance to do that. I know the Lions were really hot and they were looking really good, but their injuries on their defensive side of the ball did not help them. And with Aiden Hutchinson being out for practically the entire year, that wasn't going to help them at all. And if they made it any further, and I still think that the Eagles would be in the Lions 100%, no matter if where they were playing at. The Eagles were Eagles Commanders game was people I think a lot of people expected it to be a lot closer than it was because of the Commanders winning out last time and winning with 36 to 33, and that game was insane because it was basically a last second touchdown for them to win. But the Eagles then also won their first meeting with them because that was back on November 14th, and they won 26 to 18. That's almost a 10-point lead. They won by 8, you know, like that could have, it was still a close game. Each of their meetings have been close, but winning 55 to 26 is just, or 23, my bad. 23 is insane. You beat the team by 22 points. I don't think that's really unheard of. Kenny Pickett got a chance to play in an NFC Championship game. I don't think anybody really was expecting him to be able to take snaps in a championship game after his, I would say, career with the Steelers, even though it didn't last that long. It was only like 2 seasons. If, yeah, because, or was it, yeah, like kind of like around 2 seasons. But, you know, that's great to see a player being able to, you know, being a first round and then really everyone's saying that you're not good enough to be a first round player. Being able to be a capable backup, which we have seen from him when Jalen Hurts was out with a concussion for the last couple weeks of the season, even though he did get injured. But it was cool to see that as, you know, somebody, yeah, I don't know, like, definitely with so many questions coming out of college with his hand size and if, you know, is he really good, going to be a good quarterback? That 2022 draft class is proving to be one of the worst, if not the worst, quarterback class of like all time. Because you really try to look at those players that came out of that. You got him at, or I think Kenny Pickett at 23. Then you, I think he was the first player picked. Then you got Malik Willis out of Liberty. Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell were the top four guys that came out of that. And, you know, there was a lot of questions. And so it just really did hurt. It hurt like the whole entire time. Matt Corral, who really has been really inconsistent because he played, he got drafted by the Panthers, then, you know, played and then got released, signed with the Pats, then it's like, oh, hey, I'm just gonna be like off for like a while, and then, you know, he just keeps getting released. Carson Strong, Bailey Zappe probably might be the best name out of this entire draft class because he did have a lot of chance to start with the Pats with their Mac Jones, or play at least with Mac Jones not being or not living up to a first round talent either. And so Bailey Zappe, E.J. Perry, you don't really hear about him. Brock Purdy, okay, I take it back. Brock Purdy was the best quarterback out of the draft class. I completely forgot about him being Mr. Irrelevant there. You know, he just being able to see what he's been able to do with a 49ers team, even though he does have a lot of talent around him, both on the offensive side and defensive side. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with him. If the 49ers are like, okay, this is our guy, we're gonna sign him to like a contract extension, when are they gonna do that? You know, he was the seventh rounder, so they only got 4 years of him. They've already used up like, 2 years now. 3 years. Yeah, they're going to his, I think, third year. No, they're going to his fourth year. Might be, I don't know. He, the thing is that the 49ers would kick themselves in the butt if they don't win with him at quarterback on his rookie contract. Because he is so cheap, being the last pick in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant, how are you not going to be able to win with him at quarterback? You know, he has had great talent. You know, I can get this season because Brandon Ayuk was out. You got he tore his Achilles pretty early on this season. Trent Brown was out for most, not Trent Brown, Trent Williams was out for, you know, a long time. And so just seeing this, some of these injuries, and then the defensive side of the ball, there were some injuries, then some personal issues, or not issues, but like tragedies that happened with their defensive cornerback, with him losing his daughter. Like, that's, you know, that it does play a role, and like, you know, you take on because you know that is that's your buddy, that's your teammate. You know, you're gonna feel sympathy, you're gonna feel sad because, you know, it's just a terrible things a thing to happen. But are they going to be able to play or use Brock Purdy in going into his fourth season and win? Or are they going to have to sign him to a contract extension? And it's going to possibly be a big one because some of these quarterbacks who do not deserve these huge, massive contracts are getting these contracts. And we're going to see with some of these players who we thought, oh man, they weren't really that good. They're playing pretty damn good now. Look at Baker Mayfield. He was kind of like their savior in Cleveland. Then, you know, we saw what happened. He didn't have a good, he got screwed definitely in that situation. And they brought in Deshaun Watson, traded him to, I think, the Panthers. The Panthers let him start. He didn't really play that good. They also and then released him. He went to the Rams, he played good, and then, you know, they didn't re-sign him. He went to the Bucks after Brady's departure, and he has played at a top tier level, and he deserves a huge contract. And you know, a lot of people were thinking, maybe does he deserve that big of a contract? You know, he's gonna have a cap hit, like a large cap hit like that. But he has. He's played like that. He's going to a Pro Bowl. He his teammates love him, he's win. He's won. He's gone to the playoffs. And so it's been great to see. Then Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has bounced from team to team. You know, he's bounced from being drafted from by the Jets, I think at pick three. And then, you know, him not having a good system, not having good players around him really did affect him. And then he got released, got moved to the Panthers. You know, didn't he was there at the same time as Baker Mayfield, you know. They really he didn't have a good season at all. Didn't really play well. Then he got signed by the 49ers. I think with the 49ers, he was able to develop and sit in behind Brock Purdy. But not just because Brock Purdy's, you know, Brock Purdy where he has the calmness in the pocket, but he was able to learn from Kyle Shanahan, who has been able to take some of these quarterbacks and make them look good. Except for Trey Lance. Trey Lance did not get, in my opinion, did not get a fair look at because he only started a couple games. How are you going to judge a player off of a couple games, right? Of course, you know, he got injured. He, after, you know, taking the role from Jimmy Garoppolo, who, guess what? Kyle Shanahan made look good. He, like, Jimmy Garoppolo, at one point, people thought he looked good. Whether it was on the Patriots, where he started two games, but he got injured. The second game where Jacoby Brissett had to come in and take over for him against the Houston Texans. Actually, he was got injured against the Dolphins, and then guess what? He was out with a concussion for the Texans game, and Jacoby Brissett looked good. But and then we look came back for week four and then still look good. Then he got traded to the 49ers, and guess what? He looked really good. Even he then went on to lead them to the Super Bowl, but then he did miss on some deep, like the deep throw to Emmanuel Sanders that will live on in infamy because if he hits that, then they probably win the game. But Trey Lance then had to get shipped off, right? But Sam Darnold was able to develop and then signed like a like not that big of a contract with the Vikings. And I know for myself, I didn't believe in Sam Darnold. I'll be able to admit it, you know. It was, I just didn't think because after seeing him, what he was able to do in both the Jets, then on the Panthers, I was like, I'm not really convinced. Okay, sure, he had help from Kyle Shanahan, but it's not really going to be able to make him change. Then I forgot. He's surrounded by some really good talent. Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, you know, Aaron Jones now. Like, he signed that a contract with him. Like, I think a 1 year deal. Aaron Jones did after being released by the Green Bay Packers. He looked really good this season. He had like 35 touchdowns. He was top five in passing. And he's going to get a huge contract. And so, and he deserves it 100%. If you don't, some people may not think, oh, well, you know, he had a decline. And, you know, he lost against, I think it was the Commanders. No, was the Commanders that? No, the Commanders took out the, Bucks. The Minnesota Vikings lost to, I'm trying to think right now. I'm looking it up. And they lost to the Rams. They lost to the Rams and they got absolutely embarrassed. They lost 9-27, right? But the Rams have a really good young pass rushing. They have, I think, the most rookies with 10-digit sacks. Jared Verse looked good. Brandon Frisk looked good. And some people were regarding those guys as second-round talent. And Brandon Frisk looked good. He did. Absolutely. He was worth the second-round pick. He honestly, I think if people redrafted again this entire draft class again, he would have been in the first round. And he would have gone a lot earlier. And I think so would Jared Verse because they proved that they're going to be a dominant force on the defensive side for years to come. And so seeing that, I think you look at kind of where this team had, or the Rams had a really good defense and still have a good defense. And we'll see kind of how they're able to improve and retain some of their starters from this team. But the Vikings will take Sam Darnold as their, they should take their Sam Darnold as their franchise quarterback or their future quarterback, maybe for one more year or something, so that then they can really see if JJ McCarthy is that guy for them, right? Because JJ McCarthy coming out of Michigan, there really isn't a big sample size for him at all. Because he was asked to do a lot, and it was a lot of times running, like handing the ball off. Because against Penn State, I think he only threw it a total of 4 times, but they ran it like 33 consecutive times. But guess what? He led them to a national championship. And Jim Harbaugh came out and said, he's the best Michigan quarterback ever. And that's even including Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is no was known as the comeback kid. In like you can look that up, but he was known as the comeback kid because of how many times he led his team to comebacks, right? And Jim Harbaugh saying that JJ McCarthy is the best quarterback, Michigan quarterback of all time. You know what? You see what he's done with both the Michigan with Michigan leading into a national championship in his last year, and then seeing that he led the Chargers to a first round exit in the playoffs. I'm not trying to be like a jerk about that, but like he was able to lead them to the playoffs with really no number one wide receiver. LeSean McCaffrey was their number one target, right? Who else does he have to pass to? He doesn't have a tight end. He doesn't really have that second wide receiver, you know? Quentin Johnston was very inconsistent with his catches. I know looking at that the Patriots game, for example, he dropped a lot of easy catches. And I was super pumped about it because, you know, being a Patriots fan, I wanted to win the game. We ended up losing terribly. But he needs to, he's definitely improved going into year two. But year three, I think it's going to be make or break for him if he doesn't get traded this offseason. But it's going to be make or break for him to see if he is going to continue with the franchise. Because I think if he's not having, if he doesn't produce by the end of next season and doesn't have, you know, a jump at all, he's going to get traded or released. And then some quarter or wide receiver needy team is going to come in and be like, okay, we're going to take a gamble. I could see the Chiefs coming in or the Bills coming in and be like, hey, do you know we've seen what you've done on the Chargers? We're going to try to see if we can improve you with putting you with a top quarterback in this league. And honestly, I think Justin Herbert is one of like a top quarterback. I think he's top 10. But this season, Patrick Mahomes did take a huge decline. And we'll see if this transfers into next season or if this was, you know, just a 1 year type of thing. But Josh Allen made a huge leap. And we'll see if he can continue doing that. And he looked good. He looked fantastic. I hated playing the Bills honestly, because I knew that Josh Allen would come out and smoke us. But seeing Josh Allen, he's going to come in and, or I think he would be able to develop some of those guys. And honestly, let's move to the Bills now. The Bills need a wide receiver one. I know they traded for Amari Cooper, but Amari Cooper really didn't do much. He had a touchdown their first game. He was able to kind of get open for their the championship game. But really, he didn't do much this last season. I know it was like he came in mid-season because he was a mid-season trade, but he needs to either take a step forward or he's going to be playing behind Keon Coleman. He could get behind Khalil Shakir, who was their number one guy. If those Keon Coleman and Shakir can both take you or take him or like keep progressing, those two guys are going to be a fantastic wide receiver duo. Khalil Shakir has already shown you that he can be a top yak receiver. And honestly, playing out this, I think he's playing out the slot. He's looking fantastic. Like he definitely is one of those players that I think any team would love to have. And the Bills have him. And I know he probably loves playing for Josh Allen. And he came from Boise State where, you know what, he didn't have like one of those top quarterbacks in the nation, you know, because they're not one of those destinations where they're going to get these tremendous top tier quarterbacks. Because they looked at it like Malachi Nelson was supposed to be that for them last year. But guess what? He wasn't. I'm not going to get on that tangent. But the Bills Chiefs game, that game, I think everybody knew it was going to come down to a field goal. That was the position. It was going to either be a game-winning field goal, it was going to be a field goal separating them, or it was going to be a field like missing, losing a field goal. And guess what? It was a field goal game. And so I know a lot of people have a lot of takes for it and are pissed and are mad about what happened in the game with the fourth down play that the Bills ran that was very controversial about. Oh, was this really, was this a fourth down? First down, was it not? When there was, you know, a line judge, a line ref, like, in, or both line refs were in two different positions, you know, and the person, and this is what I'm hearing from different, it's Chuck Pagano on the Pat McAfee show, like, and he was saying that. How is the person that has the best side of the view not going to be able to call the play, you know, where the spot of the ball is, right? When the bottom judge ref, line ref, was not able to see the ball, why is he saying where the ball is? I'm not going to get into it because it's super controversial, you know, and, you know, the NFL should definitely take a look at this and seeing, hey, how can we get both of our refs, our line judges, on the same page, right? If we can do that, then hopefully it will create less controversy. But who knows, right? That's, I'm not an NFL expert. I'm not an expert, you know, I'm not somebody who high up who even knows, who cares what I'm saying, right? Like, you know, but we can look at that, right? So for some hot takes this for this next upcoming season, I believe that with Ben Johnson being hired as a or head coach, I think he's the Bears are going to be really good next year, and I think they're going to be good enough to make it to the playoffs. I know that they had an okay season, and they were the only NFC North team to not make it into the playoffs, but I think they're going to be good enough to make it into the playoffs next season. I think Ben Johnson knows what he's going to be doing, and I can honestly see him getting a new running back because I know he doesn't like DeAndre Swift with his time when he would DeAndre Swift was with the Lions. I think DeAndre Swift will either not will have a decreased playing role, or he's going to get traded to a team, another team. Or who knows, maybe they'll let bygones be bygones and then they'll both, you know, work pretty well with each other. But honestly, I can see them picking an Ashton Jeantie with their 10th overall pick because we've seen that the Lions loved having two different types of running backs with the power with David Montgomery and then, you know, the agile with Jahmyr Gibbs, my part, my bad. And if he can replicate that type of offense with the Bears again, he's going to love it because even though he's not going to be calling plays, he's still like their new offensive coordinator is going to probably love having two good backs, right? And Ashton Jeantie can kind of give you the role of both if you just wanted to go like a primarily single back, right? We didn't see much catching out of a BSU for that, but if you, but he can do it. But so I think if you give Kalen Williams like one of those type of player, like a good running back. This running back class is phenomenal. Amari Hampton out of North Carolina, he could be plugged into that role. And guess what? You could have Swift and him play, both playing that. And that would be phenomenal for them. But this running back draft class, it's going to be interesting to see when these guys fall. Because I believe that there's going to be a running back domino effect in this upcoming draft. Because some players are going to be ranked higher, of course, right? But I think Austin Chandy is going in the first round, no doubt. Amari Hampton is on that line of being a first, second round player. And we're going to see with the combine. Because this combine can raise it to be like, oh, wow, he's definitely a first round talent. Or, okay, we can get him in the second round, probably. I think those two guys are going to be the running back one and running back two, right? But who is in contention for that running back three, you know? And with that, I think a lot of these teams are either going to, once they see those two guys go, okay, like, okay, that we expected that. But then when the third running back goes, that's when I think a lot of these players or running backs are gonna, you know, fall. My next one, I think the Patriots with all their new additions, with Mike Vrabel, with Josh McDaniels returning as offensive coordinator, and Terrell Williams as the new defensive coordinator. I think this team with the draft capital that they have and the fourth overall selection, I think they're going to like be good enough to be on the borderline of making the playoffs or in the playoffs. I know that's a huge, you know, like jump from, you know, only winning four games, but I think the Pats will be good enough. And of course, they might not actually draft anybody or sign anybody good, right? But I believe that. And then that might change my whole like hot take. But as of January 30th, 2025, that's why I think. So with that, I think the Pats will be good, and I'm excited to see Drake May take a second year leap and Christian Gonzalez to keep developing. I think the Bills will get a number one wide receiver this offseason. And then that will cause them to be able to overthrow the Chiefs finally. Because I know Josh Allen, his kryptonite is Mahomes. And so we'll see. And I think that's going to be the huge, biggest thing. And I think the NFC, an NFC team, if they don't win it this season, I think they're going to win it next season. I think they will win the Super Bowl next season. I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know. We'll see. I think the Eagles might not be that good, as good as they were this season, because they might trade AJ Brown. And if they do, that's going to be their huge wide receiver threat is gone. And so DeVonta Smith is going to have to fill that role, right? And so if we can see, if they can't retain AJ Brown, they might have to go in the draft and look for another wide receiver, like a big body. Like Will Shepard out of Colorado could be a good selection because he has a cute, like a catch radius, right? And he's one of those big bodies. But we'll have to see, right? All right, guys. Thank you for joining me today on the Fourth Down Insight. And, you know, I'll try to release as much as possible, hopefully once a week, maybe twice a week. We'll see. But thank you.